that, let me pull the agenda up so I'm looking at it formally. I will call our first meeting of 2021, January 6th here, to order. And I will start with roll call. Myself, Brendan Addis, present. Marie, hold on.
Here.
Michelle Gertz.
Here.
Matthew Jones.
Here.
Sue Marshall.
Here.
Justin Maynard.
Here.
Michelle Maynard.
Here.
Josh Seeds.
Here.
And our newest member, Charles, you pronounce the last name for me.
It's Tumulty.
Tumulty.
Yes.
Charles Tumulty.
I'm here.
All right. So we have a full house. And Charles is our newest member to the board. So I wanted to give you a second to go ahead and introduce yourself and a little bit of your background for those who weren't able to do the interview with you. And then also just kind of your interest coming into this. So happy to have you on board.
All right, yeah, thanks. I'm glad to be here. So my name is Charlie Tumulty. I always get Charles because for some reason I have a habit of writing it when I, for some reason I get formal when I write, but it's Charlie, but I'm not going to get too upset if you call me Charles. But yeah, so I live in Camas. I'm a vice principal at Evergreen High School, and I've been an educator for 11 years or so. But more importantly, I'm a father of four girls. And we're pretty busy between all the things that they do. My last two are twins, so that's kind of a fun experience, seeing twin kids grow up and seeing two different individuals grow and how different they are. But prior to that, I grew up in Southern Oregon and came up to Corvallis and went to Oregon State, majored in history, worked on Capitol Hill for a little bit, and then went to law school at Lewis and Clark, studying environmental law. And then one reason or another, I ended up not going into law and became an educator and just kind of been doing that since, I don't know, sometime around 2008 or so. And, you know, just trying to get involved in the community and do things that I'm passionate about. And so here I am. And I'm super excited about this, being involved with everyone here and all the work that's going to be done. So look forward to meeting you all virtually and hopefully someday in person. And thank you.
Thank you very much. Again, happy to have you with us. So, things we're still waiting on the minutes from the next meeting, so I think we can just postpone that until 2 months from now, and then we'll just do both minutes at the same time. On that, though, was there anything else that we needed to approve moving forward, though? We're good on that. Okay. All right, and was there any public comments that were submitted at all?
Just a second. None that I've seen, but let me check one more time on my... check. If I can get to Public Works' email... No.
All right.
No, no comments that have come in. And there's no voicemails either, so no public comment or questions or requests to be invited to the meeting.
Okay. All right, and then I feel like a second ago there, we were checking to see if Ahmed was going to be present. I don't know if he's joined us or should move forward with Eric's.
I don't see Ahmad in, and he should be able to just come in since he was invited. So I guess if the Public Works Director is able to pop in, we'll just put him in whenever he, if he's able to attend. And we can jump to you, either Jeff or to Eric. Either is fine. Do you want to do a quick roundabout, really quick, of introductions so Charlie knows who everybody is?
Sorry, that would be great, actually. So, Charlie, you and I had an opportunity to talk.
Right.
And then, Marie, I know you spoke with Charlie the other day when we did the orientation. So, Michelle, would you want to jump in, just going down the attendance list here?
Okay, I think that's me, starting with a G in the last name. Yeah, I'm Michelle Gertz, and this is my second term on the Clean Water Commission. I'm a wetlands and water quality scientist by training, worked for various federal city agencies and utilities, and most recently in consulting.
Matthew, you want to jump in?
Yes, good timing. Sorry about that. My my computer seems to not like WebEx, so it shuts me out. So, hi, Charlie. Welcome. I think I'm the second newest member to the commission now that you're on board. also a Southern, also originally from Southern Oregon, so we have that much in common. So, at some point when we have a conversation another place, I'd love to find out where in Southern Oregon you're from and see if we have any commonalities there.
Okay, great.
But I've done a lot of things in my life, but currently I am serving as a consultant. I work for myself, so I do a lot of public sector work and work for some universities and just get involved with things I'm passionate about. And this topic, clean water in general, tends to be one of the things that really excites me. So I'm looking forward to working with you here.
Nice to meet you, yeah.
All right, Sue Marshall.
Hi. Welcome, Charlie. I'm Sue Marshall. I think I'm heading into my third year on the Clean Water Commission. I spent a good portion of my life, my professional career, in raising my kids in Oregon. And we moved out to our family farm in Ridgefield, Washington. Oh, gosh, about 5.5 years ago, and I've planted 27 acres of hazelnuts, so trying to make a go of agriculture in Clark County. When I was, for my profession, I worked as director of Tualatin Riverkeeper, so water quality issues have been kind of at the forefront of the policy issues I've worked on and various restoration projects, and then moved on to be a lobbyist representing a number of environmental organizations in Oregon. And since moving out here, I am involved with Friends of Clark County, and also was elected to the Clark Conservation District. So that kind of rounds out my experience here.
All right. Well, thank you. Mm-hmm. Nice to meet you.
Justin and Michelle Maynard, you guys share a screen, so I'll let you take that one next.
We do. In case you hadn't figured it out, we're married.
Yeah.
We both, I'll speak a little bit for both of us, in that we met during our master's at Stanford. I was environmental fluid mechanics and hydrology there. And my professional career has all been hydrology and hydraulics. I recently switched jobs. I was working for PBS Engineering in Vancouver. In September, I moved over to a company called Waterways Consulting. We do more restoration and bank stabilization and things along those lines.
And then I started as an environmental engineer in the Bay Area, and I did a lot of Superfund site cleanup and a lot of work with the EPA. And then when we moved up here, I changed to civil engineering and got licensure. And I primarily do small site design, but I am the stormwater treatment person. So I design all stormwater treatment and storm systems for our company.
Okay. I'm also a licensed engineer. I have one more state than she does. Yeah, I have Oregon.
Did you ever mention it?
I have California, Oregon, and Washington.
Gotcha.
California and Washington.
Well, nice to meet you, too.
Josh, if you wouldn't mind.
Okay. Hi, Charlie. I'm Josh Seeds. I live over near Brandon in the Washougal area, but not in Washougal itself. I'm from southwestern Idaho. This is where I grew up. While I live in Clark County, I work for the state of Oregon at the Department of Environmental Quality. I do drinking water protection work and forestry work there. And so that's where a big part of my experience with water and so on comes from. Probably like you, I grew up in a rural area and spent a lot of time outside in forests and rivers, and that sort of informed my journey into being concerned about these issues. And then I also serve on the East County Fire and Rescue Board of Commissioners for the fire district there. So, and welcome.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you.
Jeff, would you mind taking a second to introduce yourself as well?
Sure. Hey again, Charlie. We had a chance at least to chat a little bit in the interview process, and had a really nice time getting to know you a little bit there, and looking forward to more so. I'm the Stormwater Infrastructure Manager and Monitoring Manager for Clean Water, currently serving as the Interim Division Manager. So wearing a few hats at the moment, which is fun, but is also why you'll probably find me a little scattered and such when you ask for feedback. I've been with the county for coming up on 24 years, and have done mostly science-related work, and then moved into the capital arena about 5 or 6 years ago. My background educationally is environmental science with a focus on water resources, so a lot of stream and lake ecology monitoring type things. And I'll stop there, but I'll take advantage of being on the soapbox really quickly to kind of sub in for Ahmad, who I think he might have just had things pull him away today and not be able to be here, but. So Ahmad Kiyomi is the director of Public Works, and he had hoped to be here to sort of welcome all of you again to a new year on the Clean Water Commission, and so I will just pass along all of our appreciation to all of you for the time you spend on this and the energy you bring. So great to have Brendan back again. Great to have Josh back again to kind of keep going with their 10 years along with the rest of you. We'll certainly miss Christy Dunbar, who was a great asset to this group. And you know, of course, we all know that she moved along to start her own business, which left room for Charlie to join us. So we're looking forward to working with you, sir, and getting to know you better. Just from going around the room, you can tell there's a lot of very accomplished and very passionate folks in this group. So. Well done, all of you, and looking forward to working with you this year.
Thank you very much, Jeff. Pass on our thanks to Ahmad as well for that. Happy New Year on that. Lastly, a very, very common face around the air and then kind of roll into your Clean Water Division outreach report if you'd like, sir.
Sure. Eric Lambert, and I'm the outreach specialist for Clark County Clean Water, so I handle the bulk of our NPDES permit requirements with regard to outreach and education and stewardship. I'm originally from upstate New York. I went to school out there and studied history and sociology. Spent about 7 years living in Taiwan and came back with a desire to get involved in the environmental field. I started working through AmeriCorps at WSU Extension, had a number of years there where I was able to take some courses in marketing and sales and all sorts of interesting stuff, digital marketing and design and stuff like that. So Now I'm with the Clean Water Division. It's great. And I'll just jump in about some of the things that we're doing, just some updates on our outreach stuff. One great thing, you might see our background here, Stormwater Partners and the Explore Your Watershed. That's a story map, designed for the general public, but also utilized a lot by schools and different educators. And we got that with a grant. In addition to developing some of the story map, we replaced 274 watershed signs. And so that grant project is completed. Our deliverables were all met. So now I just get to do the best part and write up the annual report, or the final report for that, I should say. And keep it going. And luckily, sometimes, when you're done with these type of grant projects, you're like, okay, I'm done with that. But thankfully, we have this story map, which is a living document, and we intend to be putting our 2021 stream health report into that story map. And so I'll be looking forward to getting back into it a little bit more shortly after I feel like I've kind of closed it out. And we'll also be replacing the watershed signs in the East Fork and North Fork Lewis River watersheds, which were not eligible under the grant that we had been awarded before. So we ended up meeting all of our deliverables for that. We have another grant project for the stormwater facilities maintenance resources, and that's chugging along. We're getting really close to finishing the videos, which is a key part. And then after that, it'll be some more of the printed materials, and we're making some headway with contacting other organizations to reach out to provide education to contractor groups and landscape professionals who we want to reach to provide education about what you really should be doing and how to do it right when you're going to maintain these stormwater facilities for HOAs or businesses. And so that project is also on track. We are also been doing some more stuff with the Clean Rivers Coalition, the Oregon Clean Rivers Coalition. Up in the Puget Sound area, they've got STORM, which is like their regional coalition, and pretty much shares a media shed. But here, where we are in Southwest Washington, we have a lot of relationship with Oregon, so it's great to be able to work with them, and they've got a great, statewide kind of Willamette Valley group, and some really, really great movers and shakers and some people with some good ideas over there. So we've been working a lot more closely in the past couple of years, and I'm really pleased, and I think they're pleased that they're able to bring in Southwest Washington, and we're pleased with being able to support some of their work, which also supports ours. And some of the examples of that, they got a grant from the EPA to do a toxics reduction outreach, and part of that grant was to allow Doug McKenzie Moore, who's kind of the person who coined the term community-based social marketing for behavioral change, to put on a workshop. And so both Andrea and I are attending that workshop today through Monday, actually, in the mornings. And it's great. I'm helping to facilitate it. I'm familiar with it, but I haven't actually had a class from Doug McKenzie Moore. I was able to talk to him a little bit at an event. A virtual event I was at a few weeks ago. But it's great, and it's also just great to have a number of other outreach and education people in the Southwest Washington region be attending that workshop too, because it's just such a helpful process to really be able to develop programs that produce behavioral change, and often in a very efficient way. So we're doing that, and then as they continue to conduct focus groups and surveys and develop their pesticide reduction program, we'll be able to adopt that and implement that in Southwest Washington. A big part of that is also going to be some media buys, and that's actually one of the big reasons why we got involved with the Clean Rivers Coalition down in Oregon, is, you know, we share a media shed. And so if you want to do any type of outreach or education or utilize any type of mass media for your messaging, it doesn't make sense for Southwest Washington to be, you know, trying to buy something that goes from Longview all the way down to Salem. And so one of the other projects we have is we have some PSAs that we've purchased through Fox 12 KPTV, the local news station there. But another Clean Rivers Coalition thing, which is going to be kicking off soon, and we're really excited about, something that they did last year is a student video contest. And so, Charlie, we'll hope that maybe you can help plug that in your high school, because it's geared toward high schoolers. You know, we have a lot of, we have a student watershed monitoring network, and a few other things that we do with schools, but like a storyteller that will go out to schools. But often these things are a little bit more geared toward elementary and middle school, but the video contest is geared toward middle and high school. And basically, they did this last year, and they have we're going to be having five awards. There's clean water actions, basically, so we want they can pick a healthy watershed activity, whether it's talking about ways people can reduce stormwater pollution produced by cars or just everyday activities. And so we have five prizes with real cash, like $500 cash for these students, which we're really excited about. And that was something that was kind of pushed by the Clean Rivers Coalition. And I'm scratching my head thinking, I know that local governments hate giving away cash. And so some of our other stormwater partners from Camas and the city of Vancouver that are participating in that reached out to a few different environmental engineering firms. And so they solicited them to provide the prizes, which we're really excited about, because, you know, what's better than cash for, you know, a high school student? And so we're hoping that it's something that can not only, you know, inspire them to create some of these videos, but learn along the way. The five different prizes will be a short video, which is only 25 seconds, a long video, which is 55 seconds, about one of the clean water topics. And then we're having a community stories video, which is really just kind of a topic around how are you connected to your watershed, how are you connected to your stream, and telling a story that way. For the first time this year, we're also going to be, you know, I think one of our big things that we try to do, you know, with regard to environmental justice and social justice, is really to create space for a lot of different marginalized groups that have been excluded or haven't really had an effort to be included. So we're going to have a BIPOC filmmaker award this year. And then the last prize is going to be the People's Choice. And so once these are uploaded to YouTube, that video is kind of like whoever gets the most likes and comments on their video will win that prize. Eventually, we'll use these videos in a number of different ways. Sometimes we're potentially seeing how COVID goes, if they can be screened at different, potentially like local movie theaters, we'll see. But the city of Vancouver has Movies in the Park, and a few other jurisdictions have Movies in the Park. And so we'll be screening the winners of these contests before those movies. And so we're really hoping that it's going to help, you know, teach the kids a little bit about some of these different stormwater topics, but also help them get recognition for their work and creativity. The city of Vancouver is also, I'll get to this first. The big thing that I'm really working on now is our NPDES permit requires a behavioral change campaign. And so we chose to do pet waste for that. Part of the campaign, or part of the requirement, was that we had to evaluate one of our ongoing behavioral change campaigns, and we have a campaign already called Canines for Clean Water. And so we are evaluating that and going through following community-based social marketing guidelines to improve the delivery of that program. And we're partnering with the city of Washougal, Camas, and Battleground on that. And so we will be kind of getting near the time where we're finalizing or getting close to finalizing our outreach strategy, our behavioral change strategy for that. And we've conducted a few focus groups. That needs to be finished by February 1st, and then we need to start making it in the beginning of April. And so we're really excited about that. It's been a program that you've kind of just had and was developed maybe about 12 years ago now, and haven't really taken the time to really evaluate it and see how we can improve it. And so we'll be working toward that. And the city of Vancouver has also gotten a grant to do some more work, and so they've kind of just pulled me in on this. They said they're doing some outreach to multifamily property managers. And so sometime during this year, I'll be giving a monthly presentation on pet waste for property managers of multifamily homes. And those workshops will be open to property managers that manage properties throughout the county. So that's another pet waste issue that we'll be working on. And as far as, you know, a lot of the in-person events that we'd kind of been used to doing prior to 2020, doesn't look like a whole lot that's going to be happening. We're finding other ways to reach people. So does anyone have any questions?
Yeah, Eric, I was going to ask with the behavioral changes, do you just have to advocate people making a behavioral change, or is there a measurable and an element you guys are having to, you know, quantify and how you go about doing that afterwards?
Yeah, there is a piece that requires an evaluation plan for these programs. And so we're focusing on two areas. People picking up pet waste along trails. A lot of trails are located nearby water bodies. And, you know, you've probably seen it when you're walking. If it's not, a bag of poop, it's just the poop. And so that's one area we're going to be focusing on. And to quantify that, one way we're going to be doing it is by having these customized QR codes that will show us which that will lead to the Canines for Clean Water pledge. And so people that take the pledge from that outreach effort along those signs is one way. But we're also going to be doing an actual poop count. So that's going to be the more quantifiable way that we're going to be measuring are these incentives and are these messages that we're conveying having an impact. We're hoping to be working with veterinarians to help with the outreach message, which is one thing that was indicated as a trusted resource in our focus groups. We have been giving away these bandanas when you take the pledge. We're going to be changing that. Per the focus group, it wasn't really seen as a worthwhile motivator to take the pledge. So we're going to be changing that to, you know, they have these little hooks that go on your leash to carry a full bag of poop, like a little bag, a little like holder that has bags that you can pull out so you don't forget your bags, or you can offer them to people that may have. Those are a few of the ways that we're going to be doing that part. And we're also going to be encouraging people to be picking up at home. And so, particularly leaning on the veterinarians and new dog owners that hope to be working with the Humane Society, putting together little kits that, you know, people can have to make sure that, you know, it's known and it reinforced that it is an important activity, not only for water quality. We're probably not going to mention water quality a whole lot, because a lot of the behavioral change campaigns is really about, you know, what is the audience, what is your target audience identify as something that's, a barrier and or a motivator. So as a result of the focus group, you know, we confirmed that people have concerns about, you know, their dog's health, but also their children's health, and actually also just themselves stepping in it. So we'll be kind of gearing our messaging along those lines as a result of what we found in the focus group. And yeah, did that kind of answer to the question?
Yeah, no, that was great.
Sue, did you have a question?
Yeah, I had that same question, but I have another one. Will you be developing some information targeting rural property owners who may have acreage and think that, does this make a difference because I've got all these acres?
Yeah, we will be. In fact, we will be. We're going to pick a few target watersheds in the East Fork Lewis River, which is already, you know, recently been noted to be dealing with a fecal coliform E. coli issue, or at least exceeding state levels. And so we do want to be, we'll be sending out a mailer to them, a series of mailers to them, encouraging them to take the pledge and offering incentives to take the pledge, and some things that we can help to overcome some of the barriers. That is a tougher nut to crack. We had a few people in the focus groups. I think a lot of times actually they don't actually maybe consider it to be a pollutant, or they don't think it can leave their property in any way. So a number of them, at least in the focus group, had indicated that now they know they would change their practice. We'll see. That's going to be a more difficult group to evaluate, because we're going to be relying on, you know, self-reporting with both the pledges, and we would like to include a survey before they take the pledge, and hopefully and potentially send an impact survey later about how they're doing. But it certainly is a group that we do want to try to reach. And again, we'll be kind of monitoring. You know, we'll have some unique QR codes on the mailers, so we'll know who's taking a pledge because they got a mailer, and who's taking the pledge because they saw something on the trail. And again, this whole process is about, you know, piloting some things and going back and evaluating, you know, is it working? You know, is it cost effective? Is it, are we getting a bang for our buck for this activity?
Great. I do have another question that, Eric, might not fall within your scope, but since sometimes you leave early, I'll ask it. And that I am aware that we're currently in a public comment period for the stormwater update, and I was just wondering what kind of outreach to encourage the public to participate in commenting on that might be underway, because I know it's really difficult. You might have had a community meeting or various other things, but that sort of outreach isn't available now.
Yeah, you know, and I think Andrea is handling that a little bit more. I think she has an email list that she sends out to a group of stakeholders, and that's what we've done so far, or getting ready to do.
Right. I think that notice went out, but there wasn't a clear deadline of when to get comments in.
Just
said January.
Okay, yeah. And I would have to double check with Andrea about that. Andrea and Rod Swanson are kind of heading that part up. Maybe okay. Just have more information on it.
Yeah, no, unfortunately, I don't remember the exact deadline date for comments, but that is about the extent of the outreach that goes on. It's a significantly large mailing list, but that's the primary way that we get that message out. And then, of course, it's on the website, but there's nothing out there really directing folks to that, per se, besides the mailing list. So might be something to explore for future episodes. You know, future efforts to sort of expand that net a little bit.
Right. But the plan is the next 6 years?
Next 5 years, yeah.
The next yeah. 5 years. So the next yeah. time to improve it would be in 5 years.
Yeah, we're not locked into doing no changes during the 5 year period, but the permit required update to that document happens every five. Yep.
Right.
And this one's fairly limited changes this time as opposed to last time when we had a whole bunch of low-impact development changes and there were some fairly impactful things going on in that. It's a lot more sort of, just technical corrections and things this time. So,
Right. A little bit of fact that I've heard from some of the folks with friends at the East Fork is that It's very technical, it's very complicated, and not really user-friendly to a lay audience. But I think at the same time, people are very concerned about the impacts of stormwater. So I don't feel like the public's really given a fair chance to evaluate this. And really, honestly, I thought that this was really all a done deal because it's already been before the county council and it's like, oh, well, what's this now?
Yeah, it's quite a long process and it'll be going to the planning commission and then again back to the council for adoption midsummer this year. So, yeah, it goes through a bunch of steps.
If I could just make a suggestion, if there could be a way to kind of summarize the changes or make some kind of an overview, and if, in fact, there haven't been as many changes as before, that would be a good thing for people to know because I feel like the public will be struggling with this when they see it on the agenda for the Planning Commission and the County Council.
Yeah, those are good ideas. It is definitely a very cumbersome document when you just sit down to try to read it. Great if you can't sleep.
I've read it a couple times already.
Yeah. So, Eric and I can follow up on that and check with Andrea and Rod and see if...
Great.
I don't know that there'll be much we can do this go-round, but just to... I do like the idea of a summary sheet, and there may be kind of a... I think there's a spreadsheet out there that line items out all of the changes, but it's not really not like a little flyer, like a little cheat sheet type of thing. It's more of a lengthy document, but yeah, that's definitely worth looking into. So let's do that.
Well, I really encourage it for this round. If it's 5 years from now, when the next update will be. Thank you. That's all.
Hey, Sue. Anybody else have any other questions for Eric?
All right. Well, thanks for giving me your ear for a minute, and I look forward to seeing you guys next time in a couple months, and I'm going to hop off the meeting.
Right on. Take care, Eric. Good seeing you.
Bye.
And at the beginning there, I thought I heard that... there was some stuff, Jeff. Was there more that you wanted to chat about before we got into the staff liaison report today?
Not that I can remember.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure. I thought I heard something in passing, and I was trying to make a note. Didn't know if we covered that base already. All right.
Yeah. No, I'm basically here just to kind of sit in this time and listen in and see what's going on. And if there's questions about stuff like Sue had, just to take some notes to make sure we follow up on things. So,
excellent. Always appreciated. Sue, do you want to do the liaison report? And some scheduling for us. I'm sorry, Alex.
Well, we can always let Sue do it.
Sue,
she stole my thunder. I was actually going to say that on the website, we always they've got the updated code and manual, and I know that the Clean Water Commission has been really good about going in and reviewing a lot of the documents. So if you want, and I unfortunately just didn't have the time to send that link out, but if you go to Clark County's website, and it's the Clean Water page, Stormwater, under, I think it's Public Works, and then you go into Stormwater, you'll see I don't remember now where it is, but there is a link there for the new update on the code and manual. And from what Rod has said, because I've been helping him with this, these documents, is that it is always open for comment. It's just right now they're doing the permit mandated update that must be done and submitted to Ecology, but it's also something that they work on, and it's part of the attachment for every year's annual report that is submitted to Ecology on by March 31st of every year. So it'll be there, but if you want, please do look at that and email Rod Swanson at clark.wa.gov, and he's Swanson with an O-N, and he would be more than happy to get any comments and feedback, because I know that you guys have done a really good job of that when you've reviewed other documents. Mm-hmm. And I know that there was a, I want to say 3,000 people were notified, that were sent out that email about notifying all the technical people that are professionals that deal with the code and the manual. So with the, what the updates might be. So that's there. Definitely is not in lay terms. And I don't remember if Rod had Eric upload the Excel sheet that had listed every single change for all of the books and all of the appendices and everything. And, you know, it's definitely a couple thousand pages when all said and done. So feel free to look at all of our stuff. And then we are, I guess, because we do not have the annual report finished, for you to approve tonight, would you prefer to have a special meeting, or would you rather to approve it in March, and then we can figure out the scheduling from there? What would you like? What would your preference be?
I personally would be fine approving it in March if that's not an issue. With, I mean, I know we had ideal timelines, but it's really just kind of our own self-governing, so I'm fine if we have a better product just coming out a little bit later.
Okay. And then what I will do is schedule for probably the second, third week of March, try to get in to have in for the work session with the council. Please let me know. Does that, it's usually on Wednesday morning, so it would be,
so sorry, would that mean that we would have our meeting to approve it?
We would meet on March 3rd and approve it, and then either on the 10th or the 17th or the 24th. If you want to email me your availability for the mornings, if you're available the 10th, 17th, or 24th of March, and I will start working with the staff to get that on the agenda for the council.
You say it's in the morning.
It is in the morning. I believe it's 9 to 11, maybe noon. But usually they give us a 9 o'clock slot or 9:30, and they usually give us about an hour. I don't know if we always take an hour, but it seems to be about.
I can do any of those days.
Okay. Yes, Marie.
In the morning.
Okay.
So is it going to be do our presentation on Zoom, where we could share the PowerPoint?
Yes. Yes, it'll be on the WebEx account like this, and we will share the PowerPoint presentation. They will also have obviously a copy of the PowerPoint as well as the annual report available to them prior to the meeting. So, but they will have it, and we will run through and do that at that time.
So, will commissioners be able to be on the Zoom meeting?
Oh, definitely.
WebEx meeting.
Yep, okay. It's their meeting. And we will be invited into their meeting.
And then, Alice, I think I emailed you on this, but if you have an opportunity to send me your current draft Okay. I think the last copy I had was the original draft we started. It was quite the hybrid. So if you have something that's a little homogenized, send me that, and then I'll add some additional. I'll work with you on that this coming weeks here.
Okay.
To get that buttoned up.
All right. Sounds good. My goal will be to get it out by the end of January, so we have some time to do more editing and get it out and approved for that. And then as soon as Rod and I finish the stormwater management plan, we'll be sending that out also, and I will definitely let you know when that goes out for public comment, because that's another aspect that needs to be submitted as a backup document for the annual report to Ecology at the end of March. And I know in the past you guys have done a really great job again of giving comments and feedback. Another document that's always open for comment at any time for public comment, and it's on the website, as well as we have a hard copy. If anybody that didn't have a computer wanted it, they can just contact me, and I'd make sure that they had access to it. Since they can't come into the building right now, we would make sure they got a copy of it, a hard copy of whatever is available right now. So that is there. So for going into special meetings, I know we had talked about doing special meetings spring and fall. So what would, and I am assuming I heard from a couple and I saw several people nod that, I don't know, do you want to vote on approving the annual report in March, or just I can summarize if I see everybody saying yes, or everybody just do a voice yes so that it's on the record.
Yes.
Okay. Yes. And I saw Matthew do the thumbs up, and so, same with Charlie. So, you know, we have all that in place, so that's okay. So that'll be March for approval. And then on when would you like to do the spring meeting? We can do it in March or in April. I'll tell you right now that the first week of April is not available. My daughter's getting married. I am planning on taking that time off. I know, it's a busy time. And my son's getting married in May, so...
Wow.
We've got a lot of craziness going on in my family. But I am available every... except for, and I think that's also probably Washington spring breaks. Charlie would probably be able to say otherwise. Yes, he's saying yes, first week of April. And so I know a lot of you don't like to do it then because of things going on. So what is your pleasure? Do you want to do it in March, or would you rather do it in April?
I personally am indifferent on the date between those two. So I don't know if anybody else has a strong feeling one way or another.
Do we know what our topic might be? What's on the agenda? What we're looking at?
My plan is to put on at least two or three speakers and have them come on. Potentially... I have to confirm with them and make sure that it's right, but I'm planning on having two or three outside speakers, and potentially one of the Clean Water staff, and potentially maybe have the Clean Water staff available also for the March date, if it's the March 3rd meeting, if it's not too packed with agenda items. So if it looks like there's a lot on the agenda, I won't schedule a staff member for March 3rd, but then I'll make sure that we definitely have three or four people for the special meeting, unless you would rather have more than that or less than that.
Would the first week in April be burdensome, Alice?
Yes.
Be honest. I ask because I want you to be honest.
Yes, I currently have it off on scheduled as vacation. But if that was your will, then I would make it work. That's how much I love you guys.
Let's do it in March.
Okay.
Well, we were going to have a meeting in March. So you want to do a special meeting in June? This will give Alice time to get through her wedding.
Yeah? That makes sense.
We can do late April.
I'm also wondering when we're going to do our field trip. And my thinking is that doing a field trip now or sooner, and of course when the weather stabilizes, but might allow us an opportunity to get together, albeit at a safe distance, and maybe driving ourselves. So it would be a different kind of organized thing, but it might allow us to at least be physically in the same place, you know, outside.
I can check. As of right now, I don't think that the safety managers for the county would be okay with that. But we can find out, and Jeff can definitely ask. Or actually, we have a staff meeting with the safety. The safety manager will be at the meeting next week, and I can ask about that. I was personally thinking hopefully by late summer, early September, October, by then hopefully things will have calmed down, restrictions will be loosened, people will be vaccinated, and it will be hopefully, it'll be a little bit easier to accomplish. But I think the only way we could do it is definitely everybody would have to take cars, because now we're not allowed to ride. We're absolutely not allowed to ride in cars together or anything like that. So.
Yeah, I don't think that was an option. Yeah. Period. I'm not sure it would be an option in October either. But I'm just thinking. So yeah, if you could check on one, and maybe it, you know, looking at May or June. But if it's not going to be possible, then I guess we just won't do it. So. I was just thinking it could be maybe in lieu of a special meeting, but that's okay.
Well, and we could do that in for the fall one, too, and then have your spring one, May, June. I can get some dates and run them by you if you guys would like. I know usually it ends up being summertime. Everybody gets busy, but but we can see what we can do with it, so.
I think we should all roll around a field trip site in plastic bubbles.
We can be bubble boys.
Yeah, see if your safety measures will allow it.
Isn't that Saturday Night Live?
Can we do the field trip like in two groups? Because parking would be a hassle too if there's that many cars at some of those sites. So, you know, what's the limit of people that can gather, isn't it?
Oh gosh, isn't it less than, I can't remember what the requirements are. I know in my department we can't have more than 4 people in clean water in our area, so it's like 25% of the area. So we're not allowed to have more than 4 people in all of the clean water division in the office at the same time right now. Do you know, Jeff?
Well, it's a little different than that, but for the field trip, you know, concept, I think there is no limit. It's just a matter of how many people you can keep at safe distances, right? And so, you know, we could have 10 people if we stayed adequately apart. But I do think what Marie said about, I think the biggest thing is logistics of trying to make it happen with that many vehicles. You'd have to pick very carefully where you're going to be, because half the places that we go, there's not room for 2, you know, much less 8 or more, right? So, I would suggest that we sort of, I don't know, not so much table, but maybe we kind of have you guys figure out what do you want to accomplish with that event this year, and then we can sort of brainstorm locations and timing a little bit.
Do you still want to go out to the east side and tour those locations? Because we had that all set up. I had that all organized for last year to go out to the east side and to the fire center by Josh, and there were a couple other places, and we were going to have the monitoring staff was going to show one of the monitoring sites, and hopefully you're still there. Just a second. And my computer just died. Okay. Get back in. Waiting for my computer to restart. It's always interesting with technology. I'm very grateful that we have it and that we are able to do these kind of meetings and be able to still function and have business go onward. But when we have these kind of issues where it dies, then that is definitely a problem. Come on, computer. Okay, let's see if we can connect. Okay, starting to...
Yeah, I'll start with a motion first for...
I'm back.
Ah, he's back.
I know. Sorry about that. All of a sudden, I had an unexpected error, and my computer decided to shut down in the middle. So I can't wait to get my brand new computer.
When, in your absence, anything we were discussing here, we were recording through Jeff's computer, so okay. You'll have a little snippet.
Okay.
Cut out there.
Are you back on recording there now?
I am still recording. Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, I have cool. I have the little videotape recorder going. So.
Okay. And mine disappeared. My recorder disappeared as soon as you popped back in. I think I became not the host anymore. So.
Okay.
Hopefully there's a small snippet on my computer somewhere.
Okay. Do you want to give me a synopsis really quick?
Sure. We were just discussing the pros and cons of a summer special, or doing a special meeting in spring versus the summertime. As far as a field trip, I was just making the note that there might not be, you may have some particulars with the county, but there might not be that many restrictions for meeting outside. I was at least referring to the work that I have to have my employees comply by, so there is a good amount of flexibility if we were doing something that's outdoors. So
okay.
Perhaps fair weather would be nice for that. So it seems if we're going to be meeting in person, folks are leaning more towards June.
Okay.
If we were going to have it be a video meeting, trying for the March one. But there was also the feeling that if we were going to do that, it would mostly just be to have a guest speaker or two, which would be welcomed. We might not have as much business since we just kind of wrapped our strategic plan recently. So it seems like there was no strong objections one way or another, so I was just going to make a motion to vote on one and then the other, see which one wins. So that's where we're at. So on that, I'll make a motion to have our meeting in late March. Any seconds to that?
I'll second it.
All right. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay, and I saw Charlie and Michelle Gertz raise their hand. So, and Sue, because... So we've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Who else? 6, 7. Okay.
I think it was unanimous. Yep.
Okay.
And I said aye.
Okay.
That's Josh.
Thank
All
you.
Right. And just to make sure, any opposed? All right. So that seems to pass. So then we just got to figure which date works best for doing that. Would you be looking for a 6:30 time slot as well, Alice?
I would assume so. That seems to be your preferred meeting time.
Yeah.
Does somebody have a preference over the 24th or the 31st?
The college, Clark College spring break is the 26th.
Okay.
Maybe something. My son's not in college yet.
That's the week of the 24th for you?
That would be his spring break.
So you're looking at the 31st then, is what I'm hearing?
Yeah, I'd prefer that.
Okay. Then that's...
Anyone opposed to the 31st? Can you mean to formally vote on that, or does that work?
That'll be good. And I was thinking if you wanted to at least pencil in a date for, it seemed to work really nice to do something in early October. So if you wanted, we could pencil in October 6th for a special meeting. I just like to get them on so people can block it off on their schedules. Unless you have, anybody have any objections? Okay.
And that would be the evening of the 6th?
Correct. And special meetings, you are not required attendance. Obviously, it's nice we have to have a quorum, but even then, generally, in the special meetings, you aren't doing a lot of business. So it's usually set up as either we work on projects or we have presentations. Got that. And then just kind of briefly put on my my official hat, just in my annual reminder about the OPMA, requirements, the Open Public Meetings Act requirements. When we get into doing the work groups and things like that, your working groups, we can't have more than 4 people in. We can, we just have to make it a special meeting, so that's not a problem to create a special meeting, but otherwise we have to keep it to 4 or under. Otherwise, decisions made would be considered an action. And that when replying on emails, don't reply all. If we're talking about something, email it directly back to me with your comments, and then I can send them out to everybody. But otherwise, if we have multiple people talking on an email thread, that ends up being considered as a public meeting that's not open to the public. So just a reminder about those things. It's part of everything. Everybody's certifications are still valid. I think next year might have to be the year that where there's more that people have to work on. Charlie's going to be working on his and getting his certification done, and he'll send me a copy of that. But everybody else is up to date and is good through at least, I think it's 2022 maybe, is when probably the November, December of 2022, I think is the first time some people have to go back in and re-up it. And then, of course, with records retention, please make sure that we're saving things, that I get a copy of it, and that when you do email traffic, just CC me on everything. That way, if there was a public records request, we're able to capture everything and be able to provide that to the public. I personally don't care if you're scheduling a meeting, but that way it's there if they need it. And then the other would be, the county is switching over from the Google Drive. They're going to a new one. So when I get back, I'll be working again with IT to get that set up, and it'll be another shared drive and potentially Teams kind of thing. So that'll be coming down the pipe. And so I'll let you know more about that. Probably be some emails coming out January, February, and or tell you about it in March. And then, let's see, I think that is pretty much it. Is there anything I'm forgetting, Jeff? That I can't think of anything else.
No, I think that was the things that you had mentioned needing to get some data for on that.
Yeah.
So I think we're probably good.
Yeah. Okay. So, thank you. I think that's pretty much it for now, so I'll turn it back over to you guys.
Thank you, Alice. All right, so next on the agenda is working group updates, and this is going to kind of roll into some conversation about assignments for 2021. We also kind of want to discuss who's on the working groups and get one for Charlie to join up with, and I also have an idea that I was going to bring forward that I think that at least a couple of the groups could participate in working on. So what I wanted to start to do is just first open it up if there are any updates. I feel things were kind of on pause right now for all the groups when we left off last, but I just go through these real quick. Michelle, I think I can speak on research. We don't have any updates at this point, correct?
Correct. No update.
All right. Outreach?
I did have something to share with the group.
Marie, do you?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Because we were looking for things that we could do virtual. And so I was looking at other websites and clean water stuff, trying to figure out what other people are doing. And I found the cutest thing. I think everyone should try this little game. It's on the PBS Kids, and it's called Don't Flood the Fidgets. And you build a little, you either take a island or a peninsula or a canal, and you build little houses, and you use all the stormwater facilities, and trees and rain gardens, and then a flood comes in and you see how many houses you lost. It is adorable. The challenge. So I'm going to send that. I'll send it to Alice, the link, so everyone can play and see how good you get.
I just Googled it and found it. Don't flood the fidgets. That's all you got. That's all you got to search.
It's going to be fun.
So it's fidgets.
Don't flood the fidgets. Yes, kids. And it's great.
It's spelled a little differently, Alice. It's F-I-D-G-I-T-S.
That's what I was wondering. Thank you.
Other than that, it's been like talking to Eric, you know, hearing this thing about the canines. I'm not sure who's going to be counting the poop piles on the trails. I don't know if he's always going to do that, but that might be something. Go for a hike. I mean, maybe in two social distancing, help him count the poop bags.
Had Jeff not told you that was going to be your job as the head of outreach?
Unfortunately, I'm busy that day. No matter what day it is. Yeah.
Anyway, I will probably have to get with Eric and figure out some specifics and other things that we can do to help with that program.
Yeah, I'm actually really excited that they chose that particular one, because I know some of you are aware that we've been doing the DNA testing, you know, in some of our streams, and one thing we are finding is that dog waste and dog DNA is ubiquitous, whether that is in those rural streams or in the urban streams. And so I think it'll be kind of interesting to see if there's some ways to increase the efficiency and effectiveness of that outreach thing, because, you know, we got all these bacteria problems with TMDLs and water quality standards, and it's it all contributes. So it'd be kind of cool to learn some more about it.
I just think that would be a great one to see if there's anything we can do to help with that, since there's already momentum behind that project. A cool way to see some change affected. And anything from partnerships?
I have just a tiny thing. I, in my work, crossed paths with the Watershed Alliance of Southwest Washington and the Lower Columbia Fish Enhancement Group recently, and they are looking at some projects and partnering. They're other restorations, but, you know, one of them sounds like it would include some fish barrier removal and potentially some minor stormwater related work associated with that. So,
yeah, otherwise, I don't think we've had anything else.
Okay. So, working groups moving into 2021, and I wanted to go through this and kind of this conversation before we loop back around to trying to get you paired up with one Charlie as well, kind of see where momentum is and interest on this. So, I know that there's been a little bit of a lull in what we've been doing this year, and you know, 2020 has been an interesting one, and, you know, also how you get your head around doing different stuff. At the same time, 2020 kind of opens up opportunities to be innovative with things and all the different ways we find to reach out and do stuff as well. And so I've been trying to think of, for myself, but then also for the rest of us, to reflect on, like, stuff that we can be doing to try to make the working groups active for the board. I think that sometimes there's stuff that's brought to us as an organization, like when we were reviewing the capital plan, the capital fund plan. And so those end up becoming assignments that the working groups can kind of dig into. And then other times it's kind of based on
our own things that catch our interests and our motivations. And so a lot of that has more to just do with the interests and skills of the people during their tenure here. And so I was going to encourage folks to kind of think on that. If there's something that caught your interest and you can find enough momentum with fellow commissioners to try to put something into that that you can create, would be great. I was thinking even today when we were having this conversation about how a lot of these documents that get put out for the public to comment on are not really written in a way that is translatable to the layperson. And unless you're interested in reading these things on your own, they don't really encourage you to walk away with a sense of understanding or a lot to go with for even starting with your public comment. And I had thought, like, well, that would be an interesting thing. You know, what was the opportunity for us to be that conduit, as we already are supposed to be, kind of that public gateway between Clean Water Program and the citizens of Clark County? Could we work on something that summarizes documents like that and puts that out there to give a little bit more of a translation? That obviously would involve things that would require more volunteer time on our part. And I was thinking to the image that Dean had sent, you know, provided us the one time with us being the metaphorical hare that wants to come up with ideas and jump around everywhere, but having to ride on the back of the governmental tortoise moving very slowly. And while I thought that was very apt for the conversation, I was thinking the other part of that thing is that, like, we have to have legs of our own as well, and, you know, get approval on where we can run around, obviously, but trying to find things that we put, you know, the momentum into ourselves to go after. So I think when we get into our working groups, I would encourage the working groups, I know I did earlier, but again, going into 2021 here, to come together, brainstorm some ideas, see if there's something that everybody involved has an interest in, and if there's enough people behind it, use their time on this commission to try to, you know, create something that could be beneficial. Mark it off in that lovely annual report when we do one for 2021. On that note, I have one that I had thought of that I wanted to bring to you guys' attention and see how the rest of the board felt about this. So, I was driving through Clark County recently at night, and it made one of those new fancy signs that Eric has managed to get put up around the county, all the updated watersheds that have that image of the salmon and the creek name. And they stand out a lot more at nighttime in your headlights. And I drove into one of them that was for a creek that I was already familiar with, and I know from my time majoring in history and just interest in history for this area as well, I knew a little bit about. And I stopped looking at it for a second and thought, it's kind of funny that that's still the name. But there is a creek you might be familiar with called China Ditch. There's China Ditch and there's Shanghai Creek in East Clark County. And both of these were named after the construction of China Ditch, where they had Chinese migrant labor, immigrant labor used to dig this ditch and kind of channel the water flow in that area that had a lot of wetlands and flooding. So that name still persists today, and I thought, at least to me, it raised a little bit of an eyebrow about, in the 21st century, if that's like a name that we feel reflective of in our county's history. And I'm coming at this not knowing fully the intent or the interpretation for all people on it, but I thought that might be worth looking into, and that might be something that we could kind of spearhead researching and reaching out and seeing if it was a worthwhile thing to try to advocate a renaming of those creeks in this county. And I have actually named a body of water in the county before, so I was familiar with that process, and thought that this was something that might be of interest to us. So I spoke with Jeff about it to at least kind of get us a tentative green light on this one. I didn't want to rock any boats right away by bringing it up to the county, but I thought that this was something that our research team and partnerships team might be able to work on looking into this year. So I wanted to bring this to you guys and see what everybody's thoughts were on it and if this was something we wanted to dig into.
Is there any plan to restore these waterways?
You know, Jeff might be able to have some input on that. My impression of it is it ends up happening piece by piece. There's bits in, you know, restoration that happens on property parcels. Shanghai, at least, has a little bit more of a natural flow to it. China Ditch is pretty much just a straight line. And I don't know what type of restoration would happen with that. It runs along a roadway, so any restoration would have to happen, definitely impacting other property owners to the other side of that. So I don't know what type of negotiations would be involved in that.
We did look into that at least briefly, probably 15 years or more ago now. The engineering challenges there, of course, like Brendan said, but we had looked into perhaps working with adjacent landowners to kind of make a bench, like put a bench in there to speed out a little bit of water, widen them a little bit. And there's a lot of distance there, and we never got a lot of traction with the landowners because it was chopping up some of their ground, and it didn't really go anywhere back in those days. I think it would be probably a similar challenge right now as far as that one. And Shanghai is the one that's more of a natural stream channel, which is probably got more potential for that kind of work. We don't have anything planned in those areas right now in the Clean Water Program, but not to say it couldn't be considered, but I don't know where that would land as far as priority or such, but
yeah. Michelle, what was your thought with that, or just checking if there was any restoration?
Well, I was thinking that it would, the Chinese involvement and their commitment, their activity in the community is really a significant one and has been. And, you know, I wouldn't want to rename these to something that didn't recognize that. So,
yeah.
I mean, that's a key thing. It would be nice to recognize it as these as something other than ditches, because they could be something other than ditches. So that's some of my thoughts.
And to that point that you brought up, you know, I kind of summarized the thoughts I have on this, at least for presenting it. I didn't want to take, like, a whole lot of time, you know, going into that. But that was something that crossed my mind as well. I didn't want to walk into this having my own reaction and assumption to it and just say, oh, based on my interpretation of this, we should rename these and then disregard what it means to somebody else or the other significances that are there. So I was thinking that was part of why partnerships could be another good group to work on this, reaching out to other communities and historical organizations in the area that might be able to lend more to that. So if there was a renaming, that you managed to maintain a bit of what you're referring to as well. Josh, I know you were jumping in there too, if you had something to comment on.
Yeah, thanks. I happen to know, and she's a member of our school board, Brendan, a local historian, works at Washington State, Vancouver, Donna Sinclair. So I could reach out to Donna and ask her if she knows the history a little more. It was China Ditch, and what was it? Was it Shangri-La Creek?
Shanghai Creek.
What's that?
Yeah, Shanghai Creek and China Ditch. Yeah, and I believe,
okay.
I can't remember which intersects to which. I think China Ditch intersects on Shanghai Creek, and they both flow into Lackamas.
Okay. And which, are they in, did you say Cougar Creek, or did I just misremember that?
They both flow into Lackamas Creek. So no Lackamas.
Oh, so Lackamas, okay.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember what.
Yeah, so should I do that? Should I check with Donna?
Yeah, I think that would be great. Another name that came to mind to me from years past was with the city of Vancouver, and Pat Gelada had put together a lot of place name histories and was well-versed in a lot of that. And I was going to try to see where we could tap into that. And then I know randomly through bumping into a gentleman I went to high school with, found out he was the head of the Clark County Historical Society now. So through that personal connection, I was going to try to reach out to him and see what we could get hooked up with as well. What, also, too, if we can get access, you know, if research gets access to that place, even though it might be shut down to the general public right now.
I would also suggest the County Historical Commission might be a place to check into.
And well, I think they actually meet the same time we do, or maybe they start a half hour, hour before we do on the first Wednesday every other, and they might be every month, but I know that they're there when we have our meetings.
Yeah, I remember seeing them when we were walking past. They took our room. Before drawing up a more formal game plan of who all to reach out, does anybody have any thoughts on it? You know, are any reservations, or is anybody, are we kind of gung-ho on moving forward with this and coming up with a plan for it?
I don't have any reservations, and I think if folks want to pursue that, that would be great, and I'd be interested in what you find out. But I do like the idea, Brendan, of maybe looking at special projects or special interests that any one of us might have, and you know, collaborating with each other. So I have another thought on that that I'd suggest, but let's wrap this idea up first.
Yeah, let's circle back to that. If there are no, you know, reservations with it for anybody, I would like to move forward with research group talking on this. I know that we'll reach kind of too many people talking at the same time if research and partnerships are communicating at the same time. So one thought that I had with that is that after we kind of reorganize or who's heading up the groups for the year coming up here, research and partnerships could talk with each other, but then we might have an email chain that could go between you know, a couple of us. So like whoever's heading up partnerships and whoever's heading up research and CCNL, so we'd keep it below for those communications if we're going to work in conjunction with it. But I will I'll start putting some stuff together on my end, and then from some of the notes you guys had, if anybody else has any other thoughts on that that they think of, go ahead and email me and CC Alice, and I'll start trying to organize a team for this one.
Yeah, Brendan, if you guys do start getting some traction on it, do loop us back in, myself and Alice, just so that we can reapproach county higher-ups. I did speak with Ahmad, and he spoke with the county manager, Kathleen Otto, about this potential proposal, and they're both supportive of that effort if you all want to move in that direction. But Kathleen also suggested that if you do launch into it, I would probably send a little staff report upstairs to let the council know, and also, you know, let them have an opportunity to throw in their support and that kind of stuff. So, yeah.
I'll try to draft up a game plan in the coming weeks here, and I normally am CCing Alice and sometimes you on those communications, but once I get that together, I'll send it your way, and then you can have something to loop back in with them.
Brendan, are you expecting this to only be these two water bodies, or are you going to look at other names when you're out there looking at different things? Is this going to be just focused on these two, or is it more open and broad?
So after I finish with these, I'm going to expand on to the rest of the county.
Okay.
No, I had read about these two when I was in college, and it was in my mind, kind of left my radar, and that evening just running into it, and it dawned on me that I was like, you know what, that might be something that the Clean Water Commission could do. I felt it's a little bit of mission creep from the direct topic of clean water, but I felt that's kind of, you know, public voice of bodies of water and watersheds in the county. It seems legit. And so these were the only two that I was aware of. I mean, there might be others out there that could fall under this that I'm not thinking of right now, but I wasn't going to go hunting those down. These were just the two that came to my attention. I wanted to loop back to Sue. You were talking about, you know, trying to get together in groups and see if we can come up with some pieces that we're personally motivated by for our working groups.
Right. Well, I'll just share this concern of things I'm hearing about in my neck of the watershed. And I'm not quite sure. I haven't really thought about it as a work group or anything, but it's a growing concern. And that's development that is occurring around 179th, and there will be some 6,000 new houses in a, you know, I don't know, a few miles of each other in an otherwise rural area. And, you know, the community is concerned as these things start rolling out, because, and the frustrating thing, and this really gets into land use, so, but there's a nexus with stormwater management and the development, that, you know, once the zone changes, then there's not a lot of recourse people have when the development starts rolling around, and it's coming very quickly, and it's going to be really massive amounts of soil being moved around. And actually, well, it will impact Mill Creek, Whipple Creek for sure. And there is a grading permit that is under appeal, and actually I'm one of the appellants, that a lot of this dirt is going to end up actually 5,000 and 33,000 cubic yards are going to move to a dirt dump that they're creating on Whipple Creek. And so this has gone through the permit process, but I think, you know, just looking at its face, the public doesn't really have a lot of recourse as far as weighing in on some of these things. And just looking at it, not so much from a technical perspective, but just a common sense perspective, that there's this much dirt being moved around, that it's going to have some impact no matter how good your BMPs are. And I think as people drive around the county, not all BMPs are installed equally. So I think it would be good for the public to understand, you know, how these BMPs, these stormwater permits when development occurs, are intended to protect the water. And really, I think if people see that they're not being implemented correctly, what recourse do they have? And, you know, right now with COVID and all of that, you know, I imagine there are some neighborhood associations that are meeting, but I know for the Fairgrounds Neighborhood Association, where all of this development is occurring, it's not meeting. It doesn't exist really for all practical purposes, and that would be an arena where people could raise concerns and maybe talk to somebody from one of the agencies and to the developer about what's occurring and if there are any problems. So it just seems like there's potential for a good deal of impact to water quality and not a lot of opportunities for the public to raise concerns. So I don't know what kind of a tidy project that wraps into, but I think it's definitely a big concern in my area.
Touch on something similar to you were mentioning with the updated plan earlier, the 5-year plan, that the what's provided to the public isn't that digestible. And I wonder if there's room for us and our working groups to try to help create better ways of putting material and information together. I mean, as you know, lots of times you can go to the county site, there's kind of a dry, it's technical, it's, you know, it's just there to meet the requirements of what is there for outreach to the public or for their feedback, but,
right.
You know, I guess try to put a more human touch on it, a more community-based touch on it.
Yeah.
Something we could do with that.
I think that this is how these practices are intended to work. And if you see a problem, here's where you can call. That alone would be, I think, helpful.
Yeah, Sue, I think we do have those tools available on our websites already, just in general, not specific to the 179th area per se, but, you know, maybe just kind of reemphasizing through some of our outreach, you know, our standard outreach stuff that, yes, there are these numbers you can call if you have issues. The 179th thing in particular, I mean, that's just a massive project and series of projects, a massive area. You know, for the county parts of that, which will be a lot of the road expansion on 179th and 10th or whatever it is that goes up north, those will all have pretty extensive public involvement processes that go with them, open houses, opportunities to comment. And so those mechanisms will exist. It might just be more a matter of maybe, you know, taking an opportunity as the Clean Water Commission or as individuals on the Clean Water Commission to specifically comment on that larger development area. But I think the mechanisms will be there. It might just be how do you want to engage in them, if that makes sense.
That makes sense. But I would say of the two examples that I've heard about, you know, the developments are already underway. They're going to hearings officers, and if you've ever gone before a hearings examiner, it's not a user-friendly process. Or you may have to pony up $1,200 for the opportunity to challenge something. And this grading permit that is happening on Whipple Creek, there was just a very short turnaround to comment on that, and the notice really went out to very few immediate property owners because the number, yeah, I don't know, what is it, 500 feet or something like that. When you get into a rural area, it's not many people that you're hitting with that 500 feet. So, you know, so I think there's definitely gaps in that process. And I agree when it comes to the road expansion and things like that, there'll be more opportunity. Developments, the opportunity that the public have is with a hearing examiner, and I don't think that's really very friendly to the public.
One thing I just wanted to say is I guess it's just helpful to know in general. Since the projects are all large, they're all going to be under the NPDES permit, so you can actually call the Department of Ecology and complain. And theoretically, if you told everybody in the area about it, then everybody call them, and they will get visits from the Department of Ecology to see what's going on. So that's the only thing I can think of that's maybe a little bit easier. But any large project really that's over an acre is definitely regulated by them
during construction. Well, it seems like it's this is good to know, but making this into a readily understandable, would be the project, and to get that information out to people, because at this point, I don't know how many neighborhood associations are meeting. I wonder if the NAC is meeting, because that might be a place to continue to share information.
Yeah. So NAC is meeting. They're doing it virtual. And there are a couple neighborhood associations that are meeting virtually. Not too many, but there are some. So do you want me to reach out to Mary Lee and see if what's going on with Fairgrounds?
Yeah, that would be great.
This does bring up the question that we've raised before periodically, which is the question of how, to what extent gross management planning looks at watersheds and really works with watersheds and on the basis of watersheds, because once zoning gets changed and once the major planning has been done. It's extremely difficult. Everything is done on a project-by-project basis, and there's very little cumulative assessment of each project. So where does the growth management planning stand right now? Aren't we starting a new cycle?
We're starting a new cycle that will be due in 2025.
So now's the time to get more, be informed about what the schedule is for Clark County, for getting input and for involvement and for the technical work. So I wonder if we could work an update of that into the upcoming special meeting.
Oliver or Jaco might be the person to ask.
Yes, I will look into seeing who, and there may have been one of the ones that was helping us with our 20-year plan or that Jeff was talking with about for the 20-year capital plan, and finding out who that would be. And I'll try to get somebody to be able to come in and talk about that for the spring meeting.
Thanks.
And Sue, if I could just add, because I live in that sort of general area you're talking about, so that north of 179th and east of 10th is expanding by unbelievable bounds. My fence line is the border to a new massive development. So over the last couple of years, I have definitely heard the same concerns that you're hearing right now.
Yeah. Well, let me scratch my head. I might reach out to you, Michelle, and think about, maybe formulate something. It's a tough one. Development, a lot of development pressure in Clark County, and it's not going away. But and I like thinking about it in the context of growth management and how water quality maybe to get elevated and cumulative impacts as these developments occur. Thanks.
Yeah, thank you. In thinking on that, or as you were talking about earlier with other documents being more public friendly, is there any way I know if members of the public want to attend our meeting or can submit questions to us that can come to us via email through Alice, I believe. Is there any way though for us to provide more information to the public? I mean, I know we have a page that gives a little synopsis about commission on the county website, but what other way there would be for us to kind of start looking at proactively providing links of resources or synopsises to some of this stuff?
And Jeff, jump in if because I'm just thinking off the top of my head. Eric does things on social media. He'll do Facebook posts and he will do Twitter and other aspects. And I know that the public relations manager for Public Works, I know she puts out quite a bit as well, and potentially could work with her. And obviously on our website, and maybe that's potentially some press releases or something along those lines. I can definitely do some discussion with Eric and Andrea and Jeff offline and some of the other staff to see if there's ways. Obviously, the planners would be doing more with the GMA and we have to keep it focused in on stormwater and clean water, but and keep true to our mission. But we can look into that.
That would be my main caution would be, if we're gonna, if this group wants to summarize and be, encapsulating information and putting it out to folks, I think that's great. But it is also something that we would, or you would want to keep pretty much down the pipe of clean water related stuff, we start trying, we would want to try to start summarizing land use planning processes and sending that out, because we'd overstep pretty quick probably, but
it's hard.
The general idea is good, so yeah.
It's hard to summarize land use.
Yeah, you just gotta make a big mess. And
yeah. And speaking of making things a little bit more user-friendly for the public, there was something also on my my meeting from I knew there was something else I was missing when I was giving my report, and the commission had last time asked that we look at updating and getting more information out to the public and better. So I reworked the verbiage and put it out on both the agenda, and it actually was in the public notices that went out to the newspapers. And I also had Jeff and Eric and Andrea change the verbiage on the website so that it says, if you are interested in attending, here, and you can call, you can email, you can snail mail. And I give a deadline of noon of the day of the meeting, which is most places don't let you go that. They usually make you, you know, the cutoff is usually a week before. But, you know, we would give them access to be able a code to call in for WebEx and be able to have people be available for that, or get them also with the Title VI aspects, with if somebody needed an interpreter or needed some assistance that way, we would make sure that we provided them with the assistance that they need. It may not be an exact interpreter for this, but we would get them the information that they needed. We may not hire somebody to interpret the entire meeting, but potentially, but you know, we'll worry about that when that opportunity arises. But I know I put that out there in a number of different places and reworked it so that there were more options and it was more clearly stated in multiple locations of different ways to access for this meeting and being involved with that. And then also one of the other things that came up from discussing with Eric and Andrea was if you would like to also add your sub watersheds to your to the website. There's, because I know Sue actually listed out her sub watershed, but we can do sub watershed in addition to watershed, because there's enough space and availability on the county website for that. Probably wouldn't do it for some of the letterhead aspects, but so I wanted to get your opinion on that as well.
But thank you, Alice. I really appreciate that.
Mm-hmm. My phone had a bit of a glitch. Can you hear me still there, Alice?
Yes, I can hear you now.
Okay, all right. I can't see anybody anymore, but I'm here.
That's okay. We can see you. So does anybody have a preference about adding sub-watersheds to the agenda? Or not to the agenda, but to the website? Or no?
No, good.
Brendan, we can't hear you. I see you talking, but
I don't have a preference of that for what
I'm fine with it. If it helps get the message across.
It's one of the things I noticed, we have a lot of Lacamas watersheds right now. So I was a little concerned about that. Okay. Back to the work groups.
Okay, so I don't have in front of me who is on which work group, but I believe that we have enough room to where there's, if I'm correct, Alice, you can correct me here, but that Charlie could join any of the work groups at this point.
And for everybody's information, I'm stepping down, and I notified Brenda on this, that I'm stepping down from the lead on the partnerships working group, and I'm willing to be to move around, you know, if we need, because I think there are the maximum number of people in this working group. So if somebody else wants to be in partnerships, I'm, you know, willing to move around to another one to make that space. So.
And that was one of the questions I was going to ask, is if anybody wanted to relocate and sign up for something differently.
I just want to say I don't have to be chair of the outreach group either. If someone else wants to step in and go in a new direction, that's fine.
Maybe it would be best if everybody indicates where they would like to go, starting with Brendan.
Yeah, I'll go down the attendance on that idea. I was going to stick with the research group one more round here for ahead with this project for the creek renaming. Marie, do you have a preference of where you would like to travel?
I enjoy doing outreach, but I'll finish picking up
poop. Michelle, do you have
a
preference?
No, and I'd rather, like, go last. I'd rather some of our newer people had the option to pick, and I'm not sure they even know what the different working groups really do, so if we need to review any of that.
Well, let me shift gears here on this. Then why don't I start asking Charlie if you have any questions with the general, we've covered a little bit, but you know, if you have a lean one way or another, or some questions about that, and let's let you pick first.
No, I mean, I mentioned this last night. I was meeting with you that they all three seem interesting, and I kind of have the naivety of being new, and they all seem great, and I don't really have a preference. That project you were talking about earlier with the China Ditch and Shanghai Creek, I guess it's called. That sounded great. You know, I'm a history guy originally, so I like stuff and looking into historical context of things. So there was some appeal there. I kind of leaned towards research, but like you said, I could go anywhere. If there's a need to put me somewhere else, it's fine.
Well, I think that would be fine if you've got the background with it and the interest, if you want to join onto the research team. And Michelle Maynard, are you wanting to stick with research right now?
Yeah, unless somebody else wants to be in the group, I'd be fine with being in research for outreach.
Apologies for jumping all over the place here with everybody tonight, guys. Matthew, do you have a preference of where you would like to be?
I don't. I am same as last year. I will go where I'm needed. Whoever's short on the team, I'm happy to fill in.
Are you currently with partnerships?
No. Outreach.
Outreach, okay.
Yep, the two of us.
Sue, where are you at right now with it?
I'm in partnerships, but I have an interest in outreach, especially now just thinking about developing, if there is a need to develop any outreach materials related to stormwater management and development. I'll have to think about that. Partnerships
primary. Alright, so looking at moving it over to outreach potentially.
I'll stick a toe in outreach.
Okay, alright. I'm making a note here. I'll see if this all falls together nicely or if we have to draw straws on you. Justin, do you have a preference at this point?
No, I mean I'm fine sticking in partnerships, especially given my recent stumbling into Watershed Alliance and finding out they have some projects coming up in the county. So
Because, I mean, one of them, they're already kind of, it's less of a water quality project, it's more restoration, but they're partnering with both the Lower Columbia Fish and Management Group and the City of Richmond. So it's kind of an interesting project. But
this is the Watershed Alliance that's doing that. Josh.
So can you give me a quick summary of where we've got people and where we need people?
Yeah, if I...
Like what the numbers are in each group?
If I'm looking at this correctly, we've got 3 in research and 3 in outreach. And... Justin, yourself, and Michelle, potentially, so 3 in partnership. So, where are my numbers off on this? That might be it. It's all 9. So we're even across the board on that. But we can trade around.
Okay. I think I'd like to try research.
Correct, Alice. We can have up to 4 in the group, right?
That is correct. You can have 4 without having to worry about a special meeting.
Okay.
But we can call special meetings. You just have to give. We have to give 24 hours public notice and get it out on the websites and things like that. But it's still doable, but more difficult.
Yeah.
And then if I can have everybody, my numbers aren't matching up with yours for partnership and outreach.
Well, at this point on my notes, I have Matthew, Marie, and Sue on outreach, and Justin and Michelle on partnerships. Well, I was just about to loop back to Michelle on that.
I still feel I'm in partnerships.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Does that match, Alice, with what you're looking at?
So in outreach, I've got Matthew, Marie, Sue, and Michelle Maynard's toe.
No, it's Sue's toe.
Just Matthew and Marie, and then Sue's toe is in outreach.
5% Sue is in outreach.
And then in partnerships, it's Sue, Justin, Michelle Gertz.
And then research is
currently myself, Michelle Maynard, Charlie, and Josh.
Okay, so we have 9 total Sues in both partnership and outreach. Anybody else want to be in partnerships and outreach? So we could have 1 more in each if you wanted to double up.
Doing like a crossover?
Yes, because like Sue right now is kind of doubling up. And I think that was something that Christy did last year, was she was actually in 2 groups. We just can't have more than, but it's up to people and their time commitments too.
Yeah. I wanted to loop back to Michelle. If you had strong feelings about going to a different group at all, or just time commitments for spearheading partnerships at this point, wanted to.
Yeah, no, I don't feel like I need to go to another group. I mean, I'd be glad to if it was needed, but I'm fine staying in partnerships. But yeah, I don't want to be leading it.
Okay, just want to make sure nobody's.
I can say it's a group with a lot of what we do has a lot of potential, a lot of opportunities to work around in the community. It's only slightly more challenging now because you can meet with people online, actually have more flexibility to spend more time doing it. But
yeah, Okay.
Since there are four of us in research and two of us are new, we'd like to also step down.
Was that Michelle Maynard?
Yes.
I've lost all video screen at this point. So. Sorry.
So I think that'll be the next step is who would like to head up the research section? Brennan, Charlie, Michelle, Maynard, or Josh?
It would be kind of mean to put Charlie right into that.
Thanks, Brennan.
Get voluntold.
I mean, I don't know. If you're one of those really ambitiously boost your resume, you're more than welcome to jump in there.
No, I'm still in sponge mode. I'm just taking it all in. So.
No problem. Josh, do you have any preference? Would you want to take that on, or do you want me to spearhead those emails?
I think, in fairness, I'm probably not a good choice for that with the two commissions going on.
Gotcha.
I don't want to take on something and then not do it.
I can keep it.
Okay. I'd be fine doing it. I would just, like, send those emails at the same time I'm logging into the other stuff.
I don't think allowed to do it. I think that's why I became the leader.
I think that, yeah, I'm recalling that as well.
I'm Yeah.
Right on. Well, thank you. Hold on to that. And for outreach, Matthew, would you want to head on spearheading that?
Oh, sorry about the delay. My computer is doing weird things again, too. I couldn't get off. It sounded like I'm fine doing that, but it sounded like Marie wanted to do it as well, so I'm fine following her lead. Or if she wants to give it a break, I'm fine taking the lead. But whatever, I'm easy going.
Yeah, you should take it, Matthew. You should show that. I've been doing it a couple of years, so
okay.
New blood.
Okay.
And then for partnerships. Justin or Sue, do either of you want to take the banner?
It would be tough for me.
I can do it. I know Sue's got 5% of herself in outreach now.
Otherwise, I might have been able to do it.
The last 5%. Necessary.
That toe roots the way.
Tell them to lead outreach, though.
Yeah, they're covered.
All right. So I'm going to read these off just to make sure I got everybody in the right spot. And this is Alice matching with your notes. So for research, Brendan, Michelle Maynard, Charlie, and Josh, Michelle, leading group. Outreach, Matthew, Marie, Sue, Matthew leading group. Partnerships, Justin, Sue, and Michelle. Justin leading group.
That is what I have as well.
Okay. Excellent. Well, good deal. I, again, encourage everybody to... you just brainstorming things that are personally interesting to you, because I know that with volunteering and life and work, it's really hard sometimes to come up with something for these. But I know sometimes just finding a little bit of time here and there makes a lot of difference at the end of the year. So it's interesting when you get back to it, and that helps. So I'll be in touch with everybody, kind of some updates on what gets going with this project. I'm going to try to put together, I think, might be something we can all kind of be involved in to one degree or another. So, after that, though, my agenda is kind of wrapped up for the evening. So unless anybody else has anything to add at this point, I was going to move to adjourn for us.
I do have one. This is Alice. I have one thing regarding the annual report. Part of the sections that if you can let me know when you had your work group meetings, that's something that needs to get put into the report, and most people did not report that to me. So if you could let me know that, I would appreciate it.
Alice, the partnerships had no work group meetings in 2020.
Thank
you. That's easy.
And I feel like research is almost all via email.
Well, I know there was at least one because I attended it.
Yeah. those first few months of 2020 feel like a different year. And but yeah, I think there was one early, a new season's meeting. So if we go back through our email record, though, it should be in there.
Well, yeah, that would be the only meeting, though. And you were there, so you know what it was.
I just thought it was in 2019.
No, but he asked us about it, but he hasn't.
So when it's time, I have a question.
Okay.
Question. I think it. The question is the status of the Cougar Creek restoration project. And I think that ecology has delayed some grants, and I don't know whether that's had any impact on the project. And I just wondered.
So, Michelle, are you talking about the one at the Heritage Farm? Or?
Correct. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. We have multiple projects on Cougar Creek, and so.
Sorry.
So no, I just wanted to make sure. No, we're supposed to be receiving our grant agreement back ready for signatures from Ecology within the next week to 2 weeks. It's been pushed back a little bit just because of delays on their end, but it's moving through their approval process, and then we'll be hopefully taking it to Clark County Council for approval. I think we're looking at the 16th of February will be our date. I have not heard anything about any kind of delay in funding from Ecology on that, though. So if there are delays, they have not yet let us know about it.
Okay, great.
We'll keep our fingers crossed.
Yeah.
So Charlie, we're getting $500,000 for that project from Ecology, which is it's a wetland, headwater wetland restoration on the county's Heritage Farm site on 78th Street, just to the east of Highway 99, if you know that area.
Oh, yeah.
So we're hoping to do a pretty good size project there to rehabilitate that headwater wetland that's ditched through that whole farm area. So that's that one. While I'm already on the floor, the thing I was going to quickly bring up, another opportunity for folks that might have an interest in this. I know I was able to grab Justin and Sue last year to help with our 20-year capital planning effort, which last year's part of the effort was sort of a overarching sort of strategy document just to start getting our heads around what we might need to do to create a 20-year plan. 2021 is when we want to really dig into that some more and create a little bit more comprehensive plan with actual projects and timing and all that kind of stuff. So my hope is to kickstart that in February again. So certainly for those who participated last year, more than welcome to join us again. And it's going to be, I think, a little bit more on the technical end of things this year than it was last year. We'll take that next step. So if there are other folks who are interested in being on that group, more than welcome. I think easily could accommodate three folks from this group if there was that much interest. So just keep that in mind going forward. I don't need to know right now, but maybe think about it.
If anybody's interested, should we just email you? And...
yeah, that's perfect. All
right. If we don't have anything else, I'm going to make a motion to adjourn.
I just have one quick comment. It's January 28th that we met this evening.
Oh, thank you. Alrighty. On that note, thank you all. Happy 2021. And I officially adjourn the meeting.
Thank you. Thanks, everyone.
Thanks,
everyone.
Yeah.
Yep. Thank you, everybody.
Good to see you, everybody.
A couple of months.
Thank you. Take care. Thanks, Alice, as always.
Oh, thank you.